Commission Committee for allowing me to speak. When I walked up and I asked Mike, right, if he was the secretary, and I think you guys call them chair people here, so I was a little confused. And then Thomas came up and asked me if I wanted to go first, and Mike had just told me I was second. But, you know, I've learned in recovery, we got to be flexible. You know, whatever happens is the way it's going to happen. And, you know, I've learned from myself, and I don't know about if you guys are like this, but as soon as I start planning something, man, it turns to crap. You know, so I've learned through my recovery that, you know, to put God in charge, and when that happens, everything is going to work out. Everything. You know, there's no question in my life today that God is going to make it work out a lot better than I ever could. And, you know, I didn't know why they asked me to speak on 6 and 7. I thought there might have been something in my recovery that I was doing that I needed to talk about. But, you know, I don't know. When I came up here, I'd never been to this convention before, this retreat. And this is awesome. You guys have got a great retreat here. How many like this place? That's right. You know, I'm from the Almost Heaven area, and my area is in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And we just had our convention a couple weeks ago, and you know, this reminds me a lot of that. It's outdoors and in the woods, and that's a great thing. You know, because I started my recovery in Baltimore, and there was no woods in Baltimore, believe me. You know, it was like we had a meeting list that was like a book. You know, there was a meeting every hour, every day of the week, and sometimes two and three at a time. So when I first got clean, there was no question about going to meetings. You know, when my sponsor told me to do 90 and 90, I thought, oh, I need more than that. I didn't miss my first meeting for the first year and a half. I had a year and a half in before I missed the meeting. That's how sick I thought I was. You know, but when I moved up here to the Almost Heaven area, you know, Narcotics Anonymous was few and far in between. You know, you had to supplement with the other fellowship, and that just didn't sit too well with me. Because I grew up in Narcotics Anonymous. I had never even went to another fellowship until I came, you know, to the Almost Heaven area. And today I'm blessed, you know, in Cumberland, where I'm from, is we got a meeting every day of the week in Narcotics Anonymous, man, and that is awesome. You know, when I came up here and looked at my character defects and my, I don't know if you guys can tell, I'm a little nervous. You know, I've spoke many times, but I've never been taped. And I was talking to my wife about this, is now I can tell if I lied or not because it's on tape. You know, and, you know, when I came here, that was me, you know. I could not say a sentence without a cuss word, and I didn't know the truth that hit me in the face. And everything I said to come from my lips, I thought was the truth. And it was just the opposite. Everything I said was a lie. I couldn't tell the truth to save my life. You know, and as I went through the process of the steps, you know, I got to say this. You know, when I came here, I was 45 years old. I got a little over 9 years clean now. And, you know, I didn't come here because I had a problem with cocaine going in my arms all the time. I came here because I wanted a way to do it differently. You know, when you guys told me a new way of life, that appealed to me. You know, for once in my life, I had hope that I didn't have to be who I was. Keep doing the same old stuff over and over again. And, you know, of course I found out I was a drug addict with a big cocaine problem, you know. Of course, I thought I was managing it. You know, I was okay. I was using successfully because I still had the house, still had the car, still had the family this time around. You know, and I'd been through that road where I lost it several times, but you know, I thought that was how you did things. And as I went through my steps, you know, the first step was easy for me. you know, you guys had something I wanted. You know, it was that simple. And I was a good addict, and I was going to figure out how to get it from you. I didn't know you were giving it to me for free. You know, I thought it was some big secret when I got here, and I wanted to know what it was. Because I wanted what you guys had. You know, you guys hugged me as soon as I walked in the door. I never hugged any stranger in my whole life until I came into Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, that told me something was different around here. You know, the first home group I got was Hugs Not Drugs, because that hugging affected me so much. That was a new way of life for me. When I looked at it, that was a new way. And that's what I wanted, you know. And, you know, going through the first step, it was a piece of cake, you know. I just wanted this thing. Second step was okay. You know, I thought, if you guys are doing this, I can do it. It's that simple. This thing started in 1953. Millions of addicts have done it. Figured if you buttholes can do it, I can do it. That's how I looked at it when I first got here. I thought I could do it. And then I hit step three, and the whole world shifted for me. It just went 180 degrees. You know, it was like, you're telling me I'm supposed to turn my will, my life over to God, and then he's got this thing. And you guys pretty much said, yeah, you know, with a little few details in there, but, you know, you said, yeah. And I did that, you know, because I had screwed up things so much in my life that every decision I made was probably off the hook. And I was never afraid to make a decision in my addiction, you know. Oh, you want a car? Let's go get it, you know. It didn't matter if I could pay for it or not. We went and got it. You know, and when I made that decision to turn my life over to God, you know, I just looked at the will part. You know, I just want to turn my will over, you know. Let's do his will. And what it came out to be by the time I finished my third step is I was doing what he wanted, period. And it worked much better for me. You know, it was like... every time I tried to plan something or do something, you know, it always turned to crap. Every time. You know, not right away, but eventually it turned to crap. And, you know, I figure, what have I got to lose? Is there anything I have to lose in my life? And the answer was, if I lost everything, I'd be better off. You know, and... you know, that started my journey on the steps, you know, 4 and 5. I wasn't afraid of, you know, everybody talks about how, you know, it's this big monster or whatever it was. And to me, it was just a piece of cake, you know, something I needed to do to change who I was. And let me tell you this, what happened to me, and I had proof right early on. You know, I finished my third step, and I'm into my fourth step, and one day... I had an argument with my wife, and just to tell you how I was, is I would get in your face, I would scream and holler and yell, and if that didn't back you off, I'd start throwing things, not at you, but close to you, you know, and I didn't care if it was a table, chair, whatever, you know, dishes, or I'd punch the wall. I mean, I was a maniac. If you looked at me, you were going in the other direction, because I was a total nutcase. And right after I finished that third step and started my fourth step, one day I had that argument with my wife, and nothing happened. I was not the lunatic that I'd always been. And I sit down in my bed, and I'm thinking, what in the heck happened? You know, I didn't have a clue that these steps worked up to that point. All I was doing was going to meetings and talking to my sponsor and doing what I was supposed to do. And that was the first real evidence I saw that this thing works. Because, you know, I came in here looking to change who I was. And that was my first example of change who I was. You know, and to this day, you know, I might have went off the hook maybe 2 or 3 times in the past 9 years. But before it was on a weekly basis. So, I mean, that's a big change for a big addict like me. And, you know, that just told me that this thing works, God works, you know, the steps work. And when I went on to 5, 5 was actually harder than 4 for me. You know, I don't know why. I guess I procrastinated. You know, and that was what I found out in my 4th step. I was procrastinator and lazy. So what do I do when I get to 5? Procrastinate. And if you guys haven't figured this out yet, when you're sitting in the middle of a step and you're not finishing it, guess what? The pain will make you finish it. You know, if you haven't figured that out already. I know that because I've seen it in my life, and I watch my sponsees that are just like me, just as hard-headed, the biggest procrastinators going, and they'll come to me with all this pain and stuff, and I'm saying, where are you at in your step? You know, and they say, you're right. You know, and they get on their step, and it's all gone. You know, 6 and 7... You know, is about the real stuff about us. You know, it's about the real deal of who we are. You know, we put it all down on paper, but when we get to 6 and 7, you know, we actually go back and look and see what we didn't want to look at. You know, and say, okay, well, how does this work? You know, I didn't have no illusions when I got here. I knew I couldn't change nothing about me. You know, so when it come to getting rid of my shortcomings and my character defects, that was not going to happen if I had anything to do with it. But what I did was I identified what they were, you know, prayed about it, talked to my sponsor, went to meetings and shared about my stuff. You know, because, you know, what they tell us in here is pain shared is pain lessened. You know, and if you're in the middle of the 6th or 7th step and you're trying to get rid of your crap, you better be talking about it, you know, because if not, it'll kick your butt, you know. You'll hang on to that forever, and that's what it means is we're not willing to do what it takes to get rid of our character defects. You know, I told you a couple of mine, the procrastination, the laziness, you know. My list, I can't even tell you how long it was, you know. I was full of them. You know, I told you I was a liar. I was a thief, man. If it was not nailed down, it belonged to me. And if it had your name on it, I sometimes could figure it still belonged to me. You know, that's how I looked at it. You know, and I wasn't like I was robbing banks or anything like that. I wasn't doing that kind of stuff. But little stuff like taking a roll of tape at work, you know, taking your lighter. You know, I noticed we all got that one. You know, and, you know, those kind of things, you know, little stuff. But still, when you put them all together, it makes a big thing. And, you know, the 6 and 7, I started looking at who I was, and it kind of scared me. You know, because when you start looking at how bad you really are, and then you flip over to the other side and you look at the assets, and one list is longer than the other, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, how do I switch that around? And my thinking goes right back to the wrong way. How can I switch that around? I can't do none of it. You know, I thank God for that 3rd step because I could have never gotten rid of, I never could have got through 6 and 7 without God. You know, I stay close to my sponsor. And let me tell you a story how I found my sponsor. Started going to meetings. You know, my 1st meeting, I go into this meeting, and it's a pretty big meeting, and right away, these guys are coming up hugging me because I was new, and they started passing around a phone book, and everybody gave me phone numbers, and, you know, I thought, oh, well, this is pretty cool, man. You know, this is right where I need to be, you know. People that aren't afraid of me and afraid to tell me who I am, you know. So I took that phone book, and then the next suggestion I heard is you guys said get a sponsor and do 90 and 90. So I started looking for a sponsor. And the good addict I am, I went on this quest, you know. What kind of qualifications you got, you know? Have you worked 12 steps? How many times? And how much clean time do you have? And, you know, like I knew anything, you know. I'm a newcomer coming in the door. And, you know, I just thought I did what I was supposed to do. You know, I looked at it as like, well, this is how we do it in business. You look for the best guy you can get. You know, but the real deal was I was interviewing these guys, and people were bringing me people to interview, and it was like, it was crazy, you know. And I'm at this dipping dance. I have a pool party with a DJ. Everybody's dancing, and I'm sitting there hanging out with those guys I met in that first meeting, and I said, "Hey, Gary, what do you think about this guy Johnny over here? You think he'd be a good sponsor?" And he says, "Hey." He says, "Man, this is a program of anonymity. If you want to know about Johnny, you need to go ask him." And my light bulb went off. Boing. You know, here's a guy upholding the traditions of Narcotics Anonymous, and I asked him the next day to be my sponsor. You know, and here nine years later, I got the same guy. You know, I look at it as God did that for me. Because when I was going through these steps, I needed somebody to watch me, you know, because when, and I don't know if you guys work out a step guide, but that's how I did it. What happens is he would make me write them, and I say make me write them because sometimes I was the procrastinator, you know, and the lazy guy. And, of course, his way of making me do it was, you know, you really haven't worked on your steps lately, have you? You know, that was how he made me do things. He was always a suggester, which was good because I also found out I was rebelled against authority. So he never put himself in that position, you know. And, you know, as I went through the steps, you know, and I would write them out, and then I'd say, "Hey, I'm done." And he'd say, "Okay, let's get together." And he would read the question to me, and we'd spend time, and I'd read the answer back to him, and, you know, we'd go through my steps that way. And, you know, I wasn't afraid to let anything out to this guy. You know, I trusted him. You know, we're total opposites, even though we've come a lot alike. He's my best friend today. He's a bachelor. I'm married. He lived with mom. I had my own house. You know, I drove American cars. He drove foreign cars. You know, it was like everything about us was different. You know, and, if I would have picked that person as a sponsor, there's no way I would have picked him. You know, it was only through that awakening that I got in the very beginning. But as I went through the steps with him, you know, he had some kind of insight that I didn't have. And I looked at all these steps with him, and, you know, he was able to look at the things I'd written, or not look at them, but listen to what I told him I'd written. And he could actually pull stuff out of there that I didn't have a clue about. You know, like the authority thing. As I went through my list and I listed all these problems I had, you know, I didn't see that I had a problem with authority. But as a sponsor, he was able to see that in me. So when I went on to 6 and 7 with that, you know, how do you deal with that? You know, how do I change that? And the answer was I couldn't. You know, only God could do that for me. And it all flipped around. You know, I might have some new ones today and still hold on to a couple of the old ones. But the real deal is I'm nothing like I used to be. You know, all them things I used to do, I don't do none of that anymore. I can't even tell you the last time I said a cuss word. And I was a steel worker, man. We said F every other word. You know, it was like, how do you change that kind of stuff around? I don't know. You know, and the deal today is I am so blessed. It's unbelievable. You know, these steps did things for me I never thought would happen. You know, I've been married for 19 years. That's a miracle to me. You know what I mean? Any woman could ever stick with me that long just amazes me. You know? And the fact that I could stick with a woman that long amazes me. But, you know, it's like I'm still on my honeymoon, man, 19 years later. You know, that ain't me. The steps changed me. These meetings changed me. You guys changed me. God changed me. You know? And all them things I used to do, like stepping out on my girlfriend, or stepping out of my wife, you know, always had the eye for somebody else, you know, something happened. I don't do that anymore. You know, I can't explain it or tell you how it works. All I know is I did my steps, called my sponsor on a weekly basis at the minimum, you know, and did what you guys told me to do. I don't know how much more time I got. Do you know where I'm at? 10 more minutes? Oh, man. All right. I got some more stories for you. You know, I told you about that dip and dance I went to, right? That was awesome. For a guy that couldn't, every time he went to a dance, you had to help him out of the dance, you know? I went to this dip and dance, and I had a great time, man. It was like we were dancing and swimming, and I went back to my van to leave after the thing, and I'm like, what the heck happened? Oh, I'm not staggering going to my van. It was like awesome that I could walk out of that place after having a great time, because I didn't know you could have fun in recovery. You know, I thought you had to be high. But, you know, I walked out to my van and it was like, I didn't have to worry about the cops going home tonight. You know, and it was awesome. And what I did was, you know, you guys always told me, got to give it away to keep it. So that was one of my next things was, I jumped on that committee. You know, they had a special events committee or activities committee. And the first thing I did was say, hey, I want to join this committee because, you know, I want to give away what you guys gave to me. And you know what they told me? Well, you got to pick up cigarette butts. You know, like, wait a minute. I want to do the good stuff, you know, like hand out tickets or sell hot dogs or something, you know. You're telling me I got to pick up cigarette butts after 100 addicts? That ain't right. You know, but the real deal was I did it. You know, I was willing. And you know, that willingness carried right on over to my sixth and seventh step. You know, if you read the basic text, the first thing it says about six and seven is you got to be willing. These steps are about willingness. You know, so if you ain't got that willingness, you need to back up a couple. You know, because the real deal is, God can take them from us, but we got to be able to let go of them. You know how we white-knuckle things sometimes, you know? That's got to happen. We got to let go. And, you know, the blessings I got from that service commitment is unreal. I eventually became chair of that committee, you know, starting out just doing whatever you guys asked me to do, picking up the cigarette butts after 100 addicts, and then, you know, wind up being chair and, you know, answering to the service committee, you know, each month where there's 100 people in a room looking at me to give a report, and I'm handling hundreds and thousands of dollars for these events, and they're looking at me like scrutinizing everything I'm doing, and it was okay. It was all right. You know, I didn't steal any money. I wasn't lying. I was writing it all down. And somehow you guys changed me to where I could do that. You know, and they always told me this. You know, I never had experience doing that stuff. But what they said is, we're not looking for people with ability. We're looking for people with availability. And I could fit that bill, you know, because I was willing to be there and do it. You know, so all the things I didn't know to do that position, it was okay. You know, I'm blessed today. I'm actually chair of our co-op. And I don't know if you guys are in rural home groups or not, but what we did is we're about 100 miles from our area service committee. So all the groups in our town got together and we formed a co-op, which is like a small area if you want to describe it. But we don't break away from our area or anything. But we formed this co-op so we could have H&I and PI and special events in our community. You know, and we just started that. It's 2 years old now, and just to be involved in service. Actually, tomorrow is my last day of my chair commitment. You know, and that's like, I'm kind of sad in a way, you know, because it's been great being involved in all that growth, you know. Hey, a bunch of us addicts get together and do something. Man, you want to talk about chaos and hatred and whatever, you know? But the real deal is, when it's all said and done, we're hugging each other. You know what I mean? And we've grew from it. And I've been blessed that way, you know, just to watch all that, just that change we go through, you know, it's been great. And here's the bottom line stuff. All the things that I said, here's the bottom line stuff. We're helping a still suffering addict that isn't getting met, that nobody's reaching out to, nobody's even thinking about him. And those committees that we got together and did is actually helping those guys. And that's what we're here about. You know, if you get to step 12 and you're not reaching out to some suffering addict, you better back up your steps because you missed something along the way. You know, and for me, I have never been more blessed in my life than to be able to do that for somebody else. You know, and if you ever looked at our medallion, it says God, Self, Society, and Service on it. You know, that's it in a nutshell, man. We got to have God to keep us straight, because it takes a God to keep us straight. You know, you wouldn't know, my sponsor couldn't do it. You know, and when we look at the other things, the self, you know, that was my disease. I was so self-centered when I got here, and I'm sure you guys were just like me. It was all about me. I want more, and I want more of it. You know, and we turn that around, and then we go to society. You know, I'm involved in stuff outside the meetings that blows me away, that people want me to be involved. You know, and then we reach out to the service part. Man, that's when our growth takes off. If you're not doing some type of service, you know, start out small. Pick up butts at your home group, you know. Eventually you're going to make your GSR, coffee maker, or secretary, one of them three, you know. And once you start doing that, you're going to say, hey, this feels good sometimes. And you can go on up to the next level and get involved. Because there's no bigger blessing than helping somebody else. For me, you know, I'm blessed to be here this weekend. I mean, I drove yesterday. I don't know. I started driving at 2:30 and got here about 9 o'clock last night. You know, it was all worth it. Of course, at 11 o'clock, man, I couldn't hold my eyes open, but it was worth it, you know. I can just tell you about my blessings, man. I guess I got a couple more minutes. Wait. Yes, no? 2 minutes? Okay, I'll make it quick. I just want to tell you how I'm blessed at it. Here's what Narcotics Anonymous did to me. I got a job that they're paying me more money than I ever thought I was worth. You know, I got a wife I've been married to for 19 years. I can't believe. I got a house. I got vehicles. I got a boat. I got all that stuff. But the biggest thing I got is I feel good being me today. I'm okay to be Larry. You know, that's the blessing I got from this program. And I just want to thank you all for being here, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Larry. Good message. Okay, our next speaker is from Washington, PA, the Courage to Change group of NA. I give you Phil T.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate that. Hi, I'm Philip, and I'm an addict. You know, my voice is a little bit here and there because I have a paralyzed right vocal cord. But can we just have a moment of silence so God can come in and I can get the hell out? Amen. You know, we were entirely ready to have these defects carried out and removed. God. I mean, and then humbly asking God to remove them. See, me, when I came in, I didn't know. And I was trying to read a little bit last night and this morning. One of the things it said, there was a similarity between the second step and the third step with the sixth step and the seventh step. It said that I had to recognize that I'm an addict. Look at the evidence. I had track marks, stole from my grandmother. I beat people, stole from everybody. Nobody trusted me. I was dirty, I was nasty, and I was funky. Here's all the evidence. So it was only through the pain that I became willing to change. See, I had to go through pain to become willing to change. Because they say, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So all of a sudden I said, what do I got to do? I mean, like, my grandmother couldn't help me. My friends couldn't help me. The police and the judge, they threw me in jail. And that couldn't help me either. Because I just got out and did the same thing. Finally, when there was no one else left and the pain was unbearable, I asked God for help. It was only sincere asking that got me help. See, I had asked, you know, if you get me out of this one, I won't do it again. I mean, I'd done that before. It didn't work. Well, you know, sometimes God did get me out of it, but I lied. This was one time I decided to try something different. What I had to do was recognize that I got a problem. First thing they said to do, my sponsor told me to pray. Told me to go to a meeting. Told me I had to get a book, read it. I had to write on some steps and not to take nothing. So I did that. And lo and behold, got 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Then come the hard part. Of course, see, after I got 90 days, somewhere along the line, the obsession was gone. I didn't have the drug dreams. I didn't have any of that shit anymore. But the other 90% is me. Untreated addictions and unresolved issues. Now, see, that's when 6 and 7 came in. Those unresolved issues. See, I had to recognize that I got them. Because let me let you know. Because I'm going to tell you a story to let you know I got them. See, recognizing them and then being willing to change them, there's only one thing stuck in the middle. We're talking about fear. Do I forget everything and run? Or do I face everything, recover? Me, I've been running. Just to let you know, I've been running. I'm going to talk about my own little personal story. See, now you can see me. I'm old. I'm black. I'm bald-headed. I ain't in shape. You know, I have fear being alone. What does that fear have me do? I chase women because I just don't want to be alone. And instead of allowing God's process to work in my life, to like sit down all by myself where I'm scared that if I stay by myself, that I'm going to die by myself. That's 6-7 step. That's me recognizing there's a problem, allowing God, which God has been good to me and blessed me with so many things, why am I fearful for this? I mean, 2 weeks, 16 days. I'll have 6 years. God's blessed me. He gave me a relationship with my father before he died. I waited till I was 47 that my dad told me he was proud of me. I got a son that I smoked crack with that tells me every day that he loves me. He's blessed me. I got a job where I got veins because they had to stick an IV in me a couple days ago. They couldn't find one. Then they finally found one. My sponsor said an angel just came along and got what you couldn't get. You know? See, God's blessed me. So why do I not trust him to take care of this other stuff? Why? Because I think that I can do it. I've lost that gift of putting, you know, God is first today. Taking care of that. I lost that. I need to get back to that. Because I trust God for every other thing. I don't believe that I'm going to get high today. I don't believe that. Because I still pray in the morning. Sometimes I just don't ask God for what God needs to be asked for. And that's everything. That's my problem. I don't ask for everything. I mean, when I get up and drive to work, I don't always say, God, will you give me safe passage? My truck could run me the hell over. I ain't got shit to do with it. This is God's world. What am I doing? Taking control myself. Because I'm thinking, I'll give God this, but I can handle that. See, when I do my sixth step, I need to become entirely ready. I'm not entirely ready. The pain is getting me there. Because I've been through some pain. People talk about me like a dog. 13th step feel. You know? Right, Matt? That shit is, you know, it's messed up. And it's not where I want a 13th step. I just want someone sometimes to tell me that everything is going to be all right. Somebody that I can touch. Somebody I can hold on to. See, even though I got a God and I love God, and I know that God loves me, I want to have somebody. That's six, seven steps. Why don't I give it to God? Because you know what? Anybody that I may pick, God will pick somebody better. But my fear doesn't allow me to get there right now. But I've been praying that when I get done talking about all this crazy stuff, that somewhere some sanity will sit in, just like in that second and third step, getting sanity back in my life to understand that I ain't got control enough. That God does, let me give it to him. That way if I give it to him and he takes it, everything is going to be all right. Because I gave him control of my addiction. Because I'm not that guy that says, you know, I turned it over, you know, to my addiction. I bowed down to my addiction. Hell no. My perception, I bowed down to God. God took care of my addiction. I'm a firm believer. When I got to the Washington City Mission, I prayed to God. God got me to Narcotics Anonymous. You told me the second step, I had to find a power greater than me. When I said the 23rd Psalm, I said that I was the baddest man in the valley. When I turned it over to God, I had to allow him to be the man that he was, the baddest man in the valley, turn it over to him. I didn't do that. I didn't know how. So when I got sanity, God said, here's what you got to do, boy. Don't take nothing. Give it to me and I'll handle it. I gave him my addiction. I gave him a lot of other stuff. I gave him my child. You know, a true story is I gave God my son because I told him I wanted to be a better father. My God took me to my dad, made me a son so I could teach my son how to be a son. Because I didn't know how to be one. I had to be one first so I could teach him how to be one. God's been good. And I got a God. Why don't I give him everything? I don't know. Fear. Because I just want what I want. And I want it all right now. I want to lay in bed and hug somebody and have somebody say, Phil, I love you. You're all fat in a can of paint. You know? That's what I want. Hell yeah. That's what I want. I want it all. because God's been giving me all this, give me all that too. That's what I want. See, but I'm not patient. Key thing. Patient. I'll get what I need in time. But unfortunately, for me, it's not Phil's time. It's God's time. You know? I mean, like, I've been blessed because, see, I have this mass up here in my throat, pressing against my airway, and they took the biopsy, and I went just like a dope fiend or anybody else, saying, you got cancer, you're going to die in 6 months. They told me Wednesday, they got two tests, they can't get the results from the one, they got to do the other one, and they said there would be a probability, not a possibility, a probability they're going to collapse my lung. Tell me again, God's been good to me, because they didn't have to take the second test. So God's been good. You know, if I was still shooting dope, when I went to the doctors, hell no, I'd still be shooting dope. God's allowed me to possibly catch this in time, no matter what it is. So I've been blessed. I keep looking at all these things that God's given me, and then I get the one thing. I haven't gotten a relationship with that person that I just want to hug me and love me. That's the only thing that's going wrong. I got a job where I counsel kids. Remember I said I shot dope? I give meds, pass meds to kids. They trust me to give me Vicodin, take them back to the pharmacy. You know, along the way, dope fiend like me ain't got much money. I had to borrow $20 off a guy just to get here. I could have sold those and had enough, had a little extra. Bought my cup, right? Buy me a cup. Because he told me, can't buy a cup. You ain't got much money. But I'm going to buy me a cup anyway. Just be broke. That's my dope fiend nature. Because that's just the way I think sometimes. But see, recognizing that I need to turn stuff over to God and becoming entirely ready to turn it over to God is really what I need to do. Because the blessing is, if I truly become entirely ready, God will handle all that shit. He's been doing a hell of a job for the past 5 years, 11 and a half months. He's been doing a hell of a job. The things that I get today are better than money, because I can look in the mirror and like me, you know? I mean, I got little shit. Like, 6 years ago, I could smile at you and I looked snaggled too. I got a whole set of bought and paid for pearly whites, you know? I got a child that loves me. I have grandkids. Like, when I leave here tomorrow, I'm going to Cannonsburg Pool because my granddaughter told me she wanted me to come and see how much she's gotten better at swimming. You know? Do they say that shit to a dope fiend? Hell no. I mean, that kind of shit is better than money. You know? It's better. Anything else you can ask for. So all the things that I've gotten were things I've wanted all my life. You know, I talk about I want the love of a woman, and really, I've gotten the love, the respect of my family, the love, respect of my friends. I've even made friends when I didn't have the capability to make friends. You only get that from God, because you can't transmit what you don't have. God gave me compassion. He allowed me to pass compassion on to somebody else. You know? Those things, I didn't have a clue. You know, I'm the guy, if you drop $20, I will stand up next to you, put my foot right on it. You know, as soon as you go away. That sixth step, when I said I was entirely ready, because there was things I was ready to give up. I was ready to give up anger. Because I fought a lot. I was a little bit bigger, but I fought a lot. I wasn't able to recognize the fact that all of my life evolved around fear. I was so insecure, you know, overly self-centered with a low-bottom ego. Couldn't tell you that you hurt my feelings. Because, see, you guys might call me a chump. So I got to beat this guy up. Because if I don't beat him up, you guys will call me a chump. Call me a wuss. So I got to prove myself to you. But it ain't about you today. It's about the relationship that I have with my higher power. The relationship that I have with my sponsor who's going to direct me on the things that I need to do. See, I tell my sponsor. And see, through all the pain of all the things I need to do, like have a cousin who lives with me, who all my sponsees tell me I need to kick him out. He doesn't have any money. But now he's a burden to me. And I feel so bad that I don't take the responsibility of saving me. But guess what? My God, his God is good. He says, if you won't do it for you, I'll do it for you. Because he's allowed my life to be unmanageable. My rent check bounced. My landlord called me up yesterday, told me, September, I think you may have to move. The end of September. So guess what? If I move, I'm moving all by myself. And I was told 6 months ago, man, 7 months ago, I need to kick him the hell out. No, I'm so codependent, want to do anything that you may need done for you, so you may like me, you may have acceptance of me, because I got all this fear that I want to be liked. I want to be accepted. I want you to say, there's Phil. He's such a nice guy. That's a character defect. Because why am I loving you and losing me? Because it's about me and God, not me and you. You know? Because if I do what's right in God's eyes, you ain't got no other choice. You know? Because no matter what happens, God puts a fence around me. You know? That's my belief. You know? But see, fear, you know, that selfishness and fear tells me, if I don't do this, he might not like me. She might not like me. But then again, I always got a motive. Women, I got a motive. Men, if you got a dollar, I got a motive. You ain't got no money, I'm just being helpful. You got some money, I might have a motive. If you're a woman, I might have a motive. Swear to God, I ain't lying. I mean, there's no shame to things I do. There's some women from Washington. They'll tell you, I ain't got no shame. I'll tell you, you could be 3 months clean, smile at me too hard. I've already picked the picket fence. I pick the color, the couch. I mean, I got it all down. You're mine for life. Because deep down in my heart, that's all I want. I'm thinking now, I got this, this, and that. Give me that last little thing. I'm not waiting for God. All I have to do is wait for God. I mean, some days it just drives me crazy. Because I do help newcomers, people. You don't have to be in recovery. I got kids that I counsel. I try to help everybody. Try my best to help everyone. A shortcoming is not being able to sit down and allow God to take care of this process of me in a relationship with another woman. And the worst part of it is, even though I think I want a woman, God might not have the same feeling. Damn. I mean, that messes me up. telling you, it messes me up. But see, I have to get to the part of being willing to give it all to him and being willing to accept whatever comes. That right there is my fear factor. Fear of the unknown. Because when I started getting high, I wondered what the hell was I going to do. I started bowling. Let me let you know. When I was young, them polyester shirt bowlers, sure, I didn't think it was going to be me. You know? I don't have a polyester shirt, but I have a bowler. Yeah. You got that right. Yeah. You know? How the sponsee told me, step two and three, he said, I don't think I want to give that up because I got some lust that I want to keep. I tell some lies that I want to keep telling. Pardon me? But that's all right, because the blessing of working the steps is, it's not anything that I do. It's not me being a director. It's me giving it to God, and God taking care of business. My hardest part is being willing to give it all to him. But I can tell you what, the things I have given, God is taking care of very, very well. All I have to do now is get past the fear. Of course, the fear is the only thing that stops me. It's probably the fear that stops all of us from doing the things that we need to do. Because everybody, I'm sure, wants to be liked, wants to be loved, wants to know that when they look in the mirror, they can see back that the person that looks back at them is all right. See, when I came in, the person looked at me, wasn't all right. He was dirty, nasty, no good, funky, lied, cheated, stole, did all those things. Today, I don't lie as much. I cheat very little. I'm still guilty. I mean, me, I may take a pen home. I may take a tablet home, you know. But it's not like I used to. My grandmother used to hide her purse in her pillowcase, you know, because if she didn't, I get it, you know. But see, I don't do those things. I'm not trying to beat you on purpose anymore, you know. I do the little things that are like still somewhat second nature. But in the whole, I'm trying to do the right thing. The process all belongs to God. It all comes from working the steps. It's always a daily maintenance. Because I can tell you this much, I can never breathe enough air today to live tomorrow. You know, what I do today, I got to do tomorrow if I want to get what I get today. The blessing is, I feel better. I don't know if I've talked long enough, but you know what? I have a little bit of shortness of breath, and when I'm all done, I want to thank the committee for asking me to speak. I love you all, and thanks.